Amen. Amen. That's right. Praise God.
It's true.
Praise God. Yes. Yes. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Amen.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
Strip joints are part of the deal. You know what I'm saying? It says it right in the Bible. Thou shalt look at thy titties. Jesus told another guy who wrote a book who then told him to take your money because that's what God told him to do.
Yeah.
He's writing notes about it. He's like, gonna be broke for a couple years. Pastor told me send money.
Take it into the next bank, you see, Bob. When you get arrested, tell him God told you. It's a revelation.
I don't want the money, but if the devil gets it, we're in trouble. So give it to me.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I am Brian Green. This is my dear friend and beautiful co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you over there.
And best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. How the hell are you? Thanks for joining us on yet another episode of this, The Commercial Break. Don't worry, kids. It's almost over. I promise. It's the long-winded intro is almost over. Fact, news, or fiction guaranteed. 30 seconds or less. You know what to do. What'd you do for New Year's Eve? I mean, and I know it's like 2 weeks ago, but what'd you do for New Year's Eve? I'll just try to catch up.
I stayed in.
You did?
Oh, yeah, we stayed in.
Do you feel like as you get old? Here's my thoughts on New Year's Eve. And it's never really been a big deal to me.
Yeah.
Unbelievably, since I was a really small child and my parents would go out on New Year's Eve, they'd drop us off at my grandmother's house. My grandmother lived in Chicago. She lived in the Italian part of Chicago at that time called Melrose Park.
Okay.
My grandma, when they first moved there in the 40s or whatever it was, they built this house, and the house had a very large basement, underground basement.
Mm-hmm.
They put a full-sized Cheers-like bar in the basement. And they used to have all the people over from the neighborhood, all the Italians.
That's fun.
Right? Smokey Bones, Old Joe, Craggity Crookie, like all these weird names. Yeah. Not until much later in life did I really understand, I think, what was going on down in that basement. I mean, those guys would be like smoking cigars and drinking whiskey. It was a full bar.
Yeah.
And my grandfather used to tend bar, and then my grandmother tended bar, and then sometimes, we would go down there and play. They had this. So my grandfather, I think, had like a live grenade from World War II sitting down in the basement. It was crazy. We always were told, don't touch the grenade.
Oh my God.
But she would make it a big deal. My grandma would. She would take us to Party City. We would get all the things, all the balloons, streamers, the poppers.
I love that.
And then we would watch whatever, the ball drop, right?
Yes.
Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's.
That's right. Yeah.
And when I became a teenager into my 20s, I always felt like a small party was the best thing. And I kind of instinctively knew it just wasn't a night to be out and about because it was going to be a shit show.
Right.
And anytime I did go out for New Year's Eve, it in fact was a shit show, mainly because of me and my drinking. But I wanted to spare myself the embarrassment. You pay $250,000 to get into wherever the hotel party with 65 different rooms you can go into. And then, it's everyone's just
getting drunk.
That's it. That's it. By midnight, no one is surviving because everyone has been partying since 7 and literally throwing up on their shoes. It just felt to me like, not I'm going to say amateur night because I know a lot of my friends go out and do that, but I always favored the kind of like small house party thing.
That's I like that too. Yeah. I used to do these big, huge concerts. We would go see
Widespread Panic. Yeah.
That's fun. But
yeah, I guess I could see that being fun.
Yeah.
And then Fish does like the New Year's Eve run up in New York. If I could go do that, I would do that. Just dip in the dams, bro.
That's right.
Finger dip. No. I think you've had plenty of ecstasy for one night. For those of you that don't know, I went to a Widespread Panic concert one time with a mutual friend of ours, and she had a what do you call those things where you put the powder?
Compact.
A compact. And in that compact was powdered ecstasy.
Yeah.
And she kept licking her finger and dipping it in the powdered ecstasy and asking anybody if they wanted a finger dip. So all night she was like, finger dip, finger dip, finger dip. And at some point, dude, her eyes were like the Cheshire cat. She was like spinning in opposite directions. I was getting concerned. No fingertips for me. Thanks. Yeah. I don't want your saliva all over my ecstasy. But so as I get older, I just figure, you know, like Halloween and I mean, Halloween's for the kids now that I have kids. But New Year's Eve, it's just one of those things. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's best if you stay in and you do your thing for me, for my personal taste.
Yeah, I'm in my own environment. I'm in my comfortable clothes.
Yep.
We're popping champagne. Watching
Andy. He's got nipple tassels
that's
on.
That's right.
Jeff watches the boobs drop at midnight.
That's my comfortable outfit.
She watches the tassel drop. That's your comfortable outfit. Why do I feel like you're one of those people that walks around the house very naked all the time? I don't know this for a fact. This didn't happen with me, but I feel like with Jeff, that you're married, you're just...
Yeah.
You like show it's up true. Down in some slinky outfit.
Yes.
At 7 o'clock on a Tuesday.
Why not?
Jeff's on the computer, not paying attention to you. I'm trying to work. I got my tits out. I'll get back to work later. Did you watch Miley? Did you watch any of the
I did.
Any of the
I
people?
Flipped around.
Did you?
We were watching Andy and Anderson. And then we also did Dolly and Miley.
Yeah, I caught a little bit of Miley and Dolly. I was mainly watching the game, the Georgia game.
And the game was going on, too. Yeah,
which was
like 11:45.
Till 12:03.
Oh, was it 12:03? Yeah. Okay.
Because for those of you that don't give a shit, I'm sorry. And trust me, I'm not a huge football fan either. But college football, when it gets...
Yeah, this was a big
one. I think
one.
Those kids, they pour their... College basketball, college football. Mm-hmm. They pour their fucking hearts out, right?
They do.
It's
fun to watch.
Up until recently, it wasn't for the money. It's just for the love of the game. Obviously, some of them are trying to get contracts in the NFL. They're trying to make a career out of this. But these kids put their heart, their blood, their sweat, their tears. And they're also kids, so they make mistakes. Mm-hmm. So that means a game can go any direction at any time. And for those of you that did not watch the Georgia game on midnight at... on New Year's Eve at midnight, 41-42
yeah, it was close.
Is the score. They run down the field. Who are they playing? Georgia, Ohio State? No, it was the other guy. Whoever they were playing. Was it Ohio State? No, it was Ohio State and TCU. No, it wasn't Clemson.
Okay.
So other guys are running. Other guys are running down the field. This is how much I like football.
Right.
And... it's like there's 3 seconds left on the clock. A 50-yard field goal attempt is going to be the last play of the game. And unbelievably, as the clock strikes midnight, like 2 seconds afterwards, he kicks the ball. And it goes far left. So almost, it depends on which video you see. There's a lot of videos on Twitter about this. But it appears in some people's perspective, the way they were seeing it on TV, that the kick happened exactly at midnight.
Wow.
And then it was insane. But so I was sneaking off back into the room to look at this. But we were just here kind of, you know, having like a Venezuelan New Year's Eve, so to speak. And the kids were up and they were crying because they were tired. All they wanted to do was go to bed. We had so many fucking people over here for New Year's Eve. It's
you
like
did. You
Astrid's
said that.
A million months pregnant and all the kids are running around. And I'll tell you what. So, you know, do you put Febreze in your bathroom? Do you put some kind of shit cover up?
Yes, it's a spray.
What kind of spray do you have?
I forget which one, maybe like Mrs.
Like
Myers
poo-poo?
Or something.
Like, yeah, bye-bye poo-poo or whatever something. It is. We had that bye-bye poo-poo or
bye-bye
poop be gone or yeah, poopery. Whatever it is, fart-free. I don't know what it is. The poopery, that's what it is, the poopery. But then in the guest bathroom, many years ago, I put a can of that fucking Febreze down there, right? Which, by the way, there's only one reason why Febreze actually works. And the reason is it is an overwhelming smell of, I don't even know what it is, like Hawaiian flowers and too much cologne or something.
This is
I'm
true.
Not
Sometimes
sure.
The spray is worse than the other smell.
Someone went and took a hot dump in my fucking guest room. And
this
I'm sorry
year,
if you're
this
listening
year
to
or years
no,
ago.
This
okay,
year.
Okay, this
but
year.
The Febreze is from years ago. It has long since expired, which means that all the flower smell has got risen to the top and all the whatever else they put in that shit has risen to the has fallen to the bottom. And so someone sprayed that in Chrissy. My eyes were fucking watering. The entire house smelled like Febreze for days.
Oh, no.
For days. You know how sensitive my nose is. Yes. I was sleeping and it was making me sick. I was like, oh my God, did you really take that big of a dump? Like, can't you just give it like a tss? That's it. Let's add that to the treaty. That's the Febreze treaty of 2023. Yes. When you take a hot shit somewhere, I understand you got to go. You got
to
go, right?
That's it.
Yeah, everyone shits. Everyone poops. I don't personally like it. I wish it wasn't part of our bodily functions, but that's it. That's what you got. When you decide to cover up that smell with something, whatever is available to you, whether that be a matchbook.
Yes.
Yeah, matchbook is the best.
It
because
really is.
It burns the methane and you're done, yeah. right? And then it just smells like you're smoking a pot pipe with matches. Then just someone suspects you're smoking cigarettes in the room. But I don't give a shit. I would rather you smoke a cigarette in my guest bed, in my guest bathroom, than spray any more Febreze. Because whoever took that Febreze was like, shh.
Just sprayed a lot of it. Yeah.
I almost, you know how when this Febreze falls, it makes like a little mist, right?
Yeah,
I almost slipped and fell. Because I had to find out what the emergency was. I thought the Febreze bottle exploded while someone was shitting.
Oh,
that's what
God.
It smelled like. And by the way, the shit smell was still there.
Oh, yeah.
So it
yeah.
smelled like a Febreze shit.
Like a Hawaiian shit.
That's right. A Hawaiian aloha shit. There was an aloha shit going on in my bathroom. Chrissy, I cannot stand this. I took that Febreze and I threw it as far as I could back in the woods. I was like, ah!
Okay.
Like,
yeah, get it out of there.
Like my grandpa's live grenade. I was like, get out of there! He's taking a hot dump and all he's got is Febreze! I would have rather someone took a dump directly in my hallway
yeah.
than Febreze like that. It was the most crazy thing. And then, like, you can't ask anybody. What am I going to do? Who took the hot dump? Who took the hot dump?
No, you can't ask.
Who didn't
anyone.
Like the
right.
egg rolls? Okay. Whose stomach didn't agree with the coup d'etat tray? You want to admit it now?
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't ask anybody.
Does anyone want to go over there to the top of the Hawaiian volcano and smell the wonderful flowers? That are permeating to the entire house!
I'm laughing so hard because Jeff and I just had this conversation like a week ago.
You did?
We bought some of that poopery.
Oh, you did?
And we like searched it out at Target and found it. And
yeah.
Jeff chose the scent. Later on, though, he used it. And he was like, God, that smells worse.
I know, it smells worse. That's it.
He was like, I picked the wrong scent.
It's like when you get a car freshener.
Oh.
Fuck those car fresheners.
Oh,
they smell good
one.
For 1 second. And then there's overwhelming.
True.
Like, I went and got one of those. I don't know who it was. A couple months ago, someone was puking or something like that. Like one of the kids was puking. And I mean, my nose is so sensitive. Like, I can smell puke in a car that's 30 months old, right? Like a little spot of puke and I can smell
yeah.
it. It makes me really upset. So I went and I got one of those. Aloha, whatever they are, right? The Hawaiian scent can oftentimes
stay away from the Hawaiian scent.
I know. So I put that thing in there and I put it on the little vent, the vent clip,
yep.
and then I put it down on the lowest setting, right? So it's low. So at first, it smells great. It's like the first 5 minutes, it smells great. We get out of the car, go to the store, come back, and everybody's literally passing out as if they don't have oxygen on a plane.
It's, the
I know.
Heat.
Matthew's in the back. He's like, Daddy! Daddy! Unlock my window. Mia's crying. Astrid's passed out on the seat.
It had just sat in the car in the hot sun.
I feel like we're in
permeated.
Yeah, that's it. It just melts. It melts into the fucking
yep.
vent, and then you can't get that smell. Why can't someone pick? Why can't someone get a smell that is just appropriate,
yeah,
like
exactly.
the right amount of smell? I don't know. If anybody has any suggestion, I'd love to hear it, because anytime.
Sometimes the vanilla ones can be okay.
A candle can do good.
Right.
Like a candle, I feel like sometimes can give away the right amount of smell.
Right.
But not when you go to that Bath and fucking Body Works. You go to Bath and Body Works, you get one of those candles. It's
those
as,
things are overpowering.
Yeah, it's as if they put Febreze in wax, and then when you light it, it just makes it smell overwhelming of
yeah.
whatever that smell is. And they all have vanilla, and they all have flowers, and it's all like, blah, blah, blah. I like to go to the, you know where I go? I go to the Target aisle, like the Target place,
yeah.
and they have those really expensive candles
mm-hmm.
that are oftentimes on discount, made, you know, handcrafted candle, grass-fed grass candle,
yep.
yeah, from wherever, made in Oregon and special circumstances with, you know, out any with all vegan people, and I don't know what happens.
Yes.
But you light those wooden candles, and sometimes that can smell good.
We found a really good candle company. We get all of our candles from this one.
Is it the Yankee Doodle Candle
no,
Company?
No, it's Voluspa.
Voluspa.
Voluspa. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right, but they're the best
candles. Vallapoosa is a place in Florida.
Okay.
Might be from
Vallapoosa. I don't think that's the same.
Okay. Is it Vallapoosa or Voluspa? I don't know.
Those candles are great. They burn evenly. They smell good.
I'm going to give it a try.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a try.
I'll get you one.
Yeah, I can't take it anymore. I can't take all these overwhelming smells. And then I was watching a video. I should have I should have recorded it. Write this down. Maybe I'll show it on the YouTube channel. Okay. Maybe I'll have Morgan put it up. But there was a guy, I think it was DL Hughley, who I follow on Instagram. And he it's obvious someone else is controlling his social media and what they put up. They put a lot of viral videos from around the internet. They make videos viral sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. And so I like his feed because I think it's fun.
It's funny.
It's fun, but sometimes it's here. Whatever. Anyway. So he puts this TikTok video of a guy who's filming himself getting prepared to go out for the night. And the guy puts on, and I am not kidding, seven different types of cologne.
Oh, that's the worst.
But he is not like, he is spraying it down his pants, on his knees, on behind his ears, on his eyes. He is spraying all seven of these colognes. He just keeps spraying them on him. And this is not a guy trying to make like a satirical video. This is an actual guy who's showing you his routine is to put on seven different types of cologne.
That's too much.
It is. So this is, I'm going to connect this all now. Ready? This morning, I go to Starbucks and guess who's there? The world's most handsome man is there.
Your man.
I am sitting at the bar waiting for my coffee, like the little, you know, the end of the bar.
Yes.
And then he comes and he sits a couple seats down.
Did you nod to him?
I did. I said, hey, what's up, man? Hey, what's up? You look hot today. You look super cute. Those jeans are fit well. It's super tight on your crotch. Can I take a picture of you? Can I take a couple pictures of you, please? So I nodded.
You can do a selfie.
And he nodded. But then after a second or two, I noticed that even from 4 feet away, the smell of cologne was over fucking whelming.
Really? Oh, no.
The first time I met him, he smelled good, but I just walked by him.
Right.
Right? This morning, he still smelled good, but only for a hot second. Yeah. And then I was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Too much, bro.
Mm-hmm. Ladies don't like that.
No, we've got a friend that does too much. And of course, we're never going to say anything to him, but he does.
We had a friend that put on too little. He like didn't shower for months at a time. Remember that guy?
Yes.
Remember how bad he smelled?
Yes.
I had to tell him one time.
Yeah, you did.
I had to tell him one time. Mm-hmm. The BO is one thing, but when he started smelling like ass, I had to tell him because I didn't want him sitting on my couch. I was trying to be polite. I was trying. I remember we stressed about this.
I think
you and I talked multiple times. Like, we got to say something to him. We have to say something to him. Like, you could be in the pool underwater and still smell him. If he was underwater with you, you'd smell him. And it'd be like, how did he make the water smell? That's kind of weird. So then one day I said, hey, listen, bro, I just got to tell you something. I don't want you to take offense to this. It's because I love you and I care about you. You stink. You smell like hot ass. Your breath smells.
Oh, my God.
Like the undercarriage of 1,000 monkeys. I mean, it really is pretty bad.
What did he say when you told him?
Well, If I'm going to be honest,
he was probably shocked.
He cried.
Oh, he cried.
Yeah,
oh,
he cried.
God.
But I didn't say it like that. I was obviously trying to be
sweet.
And
the guy was well off, so it's not
very
like,
well off.
Yeah, he had
lived
a lot
in a
of
nice
money.
Place.
Yeah.
He had running water. In other words,
he did. I was going to say
he had a shower.
Yeah, he had the means.
He had a shower, and I went to his bathroom. He had deodorant.
Yeah,
he just didn't put it on. It was the same deodorant for 5 years. It just sat there. So I told him one day. I said, "Hey, listen, I love you to death, and I care about you, but I got to let you know sometimes." You smell a little funky.
Yeah.
And I think that a little bit of deodorant or a shower here and there could do, right?
Yeah.
And then he was like, he got upset. But that's kind of how he was.
He was very sensitive.
Yeah. Great guy. Super nice. Wonderful human being. But he was tough to be around because he was always so deprecating. Like he never believed that anything good could ever happen to him. But then he didn't put on deodorant. So what was he expecting? I mean, like... So when it started smelling a little bit like ass, when ass was mixing in with the BO, I said, hey,
I just said, gone too far.
Yeah. And after we had a little hug it out.
Yeah.
Right. Then he actually went and he took a shower at my place.
Oh, wow.
And I let him use my deodorant
he
and then
just
I promptly
went ahead and
threw
went
it in
the shower.
He did.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought that was a little weird, but I said, hey, what?
Okay.
I said, well, you know, maybe I haven't taken a shower today. Maybe I need a shower. And we were about to go out. So I was like, hey, you know.
Go for it.
Feel free. I'm going to put some police tape on the door after we're done. And then he asked if he could use my deodorant. I said, yes. And I remember throwing it out.
He did.
Yeah. Because I'm just a germaphobe and I didn't like that. Hello, all my friends out there in the podcast universe. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Commercial Break. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or content ideas, send them to 1-855-TCB-8383. Toll free from anywhere in the world, 855-TCB-8383. Make sure to visit our YouTube channel, youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Full episodes air a few days after they do here on the audio feed, and starting in season 4, the same day. You can go to the TCB Podcast website at tcbpodcast.com, hear all the audio, and watch all the video. You can also contact us all from tcbpodcast.com. Please follow us at The Commercial Break on Instagram, and feel free to use our specialized URLs and or codes when you hear them on the commercials. Speaking of those sponsors, let's take a moment, hear from them, and we'll be back to this episode of The Commercial Break. Chrissy.
Oh, yes, Brian.
Have you ever heard of prosperity preaching?
Not really.
Okay. So prosperity preaching is the belief that God and Jesus Christ himself and whoever else in the magical book decided that preachers, everybody really, but preachers especially, shouldn't want for things. They should welcome the blessings of the Lord in financial format.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, are these the same one people who have jets?
Yeah. That's okay. Exactly what's going on, right? And now there's this big debate going on that I've noticed online. There are a lot of people that speak out against this, especially other preachers, right? They speak out against this because these prosperity preachers, they tend to be on television. They tend to be taking a lot of donations. They tend to be in huge mega churches, flying private planes with very nice cars and very nice homes. In the church, the people who go to the church are paying for it all.
Right.
But they say, if you pay it forward, it'll come back to you a million times. So they are taking money from grandma, who probably only has 20 extra bucks in her till every month. They're taking that 20 bucks and then some, because she believes that that will come back to her, and that her preacher needs to have the finest clothing, the best shoes, the nicest things. Now, that's a business model that
is tax-free, too.
All tax-free.
God, that's crazy.
Unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. Yeah. It's unbelievable. What a fucking workaround. I guess they say in wrestling, what a job these guys are pulling over on everybody.
Yep.
And by preaching that, by interpreting the Bible in a way that God told them this was okay, then it's all smoothed over, because this is what God told us we should be doing.
Right.
We should be flying in private jets. We shouldn't want for a fucking thing. I mean, strip joints are part of the deal. You know what I'm saying? It says it right in the Bible. Thou shalt look at thy titties.
Yeah, you can interpret anything in the Bible.
That's your
own way.
That's the thing. I could pick up, there's the giant book of dreams right there. I could pick up the giant book of dreams right there, and I could interpret, I could make you believe that you should be giving me money, which you should be. But we'll talk about that later. But this prosperity preaching has caused quite a firestorm inside of the the Christian community mainly.
Yeah.
And I've been keeping a hot eye on it because, you know, I just dislike those preachers with a passion, especially the televangelists who are just bilking money out of people who seriously don't have it. They don't have it.
Yeah.
And whatever your beliefs are, I'm not downing on your beliefs. You want to believe in Jesus Christ and God and whoever, Muhammad, Buddha, whatever.
Go for it.
Go for it. I have my own beliefs too. What I dislike is these people taking advantage of people who are obviously maybe not in a position to know any better.
Yeah, it doesn't seem right.
But keeps on trucking on. It's been going on forever and ever, and
yeah,
it keep on going on. These preachers
I love that show too on HBO, The Righteous Gemstones.
It's The Righteous Gemstones is so good. Such a great look. Such a satirical but funny look
at these churches.
At these churches. When you start making billions of dollars, hundreds of millions, it's no longer a church. It's a business. It is a legitimate corporation. And you are literally sucking off the teat of people who probably have fixed incomes. When the people who are showing up at your church are barely affording the rent on their trailer, and you are flying a private jet and you're asking them to give every dollar out of their pocket because Jesus will pay it back to them tenfold, that's a hot fucking shitstorm. And it's not true. It's just not true. That's not how money works. Because if it was true, Brian and Chrissy would be 100% preaching prosperity right now. I think that's the gig. So as we round the corner, finish out this incredibly long season that we've had here, season number 3, we get ready for season number 4. I thought I'd bring it back to one of the places it all started.
Began, yes.
It all started with preachers.
That's right.
That was our second episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now we no longer have the first episode up there, so you can't listen to it.
It was so bad.
But for $1.99, you can listen to it, yeah, and it'll come back to you tenfold.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Holy shit.
Praise Jesus.
Praise Jesus. So, without further ado, I was trolling on the internet.
Oh, as you do.
As I do like to do. Do you want to hear from one of these preachers as to how this all works?
I would love to.
Okay. Let's take a listen to this guy. Hold on one second there. Okay.
All right.
YouTube.com/thecommercialbreak.
Learned how to do some of these things is because of a man named Kenneth E. Hagin and his master, our master, the Lord Jesus Christ.
This lady, listen to this lady the whole time.
Received revelation about these things back in 1949. And out of that experience and revelation, the ministry wrote a little book called How God Taught Me About Prosperity.
Have you? He had a revelation.
God taught me about prosperity.
Hey, Anna, come here quick. I had a revelation. I'm sick of living in the back of the station wagon. Let's ask that Betty Jean lady who comes into church all the time. Let's ask her if we can borrow some money. Actually, let's not borrow some money. Let's tell her we'll give it back to her tenfold. Jesus will give it back to her tenfold. I read it one time in my little book.
Yeah, it's a revelation.
Ever seen this little book?
Yes.
I believe I'm impressed of the Lord to encourage you. If you don't have this little book, get this little book.
Yes. What he's talking about is a tiny little handbook written by a gentleman back in the 40s. I actually did a whole research on this. And the guy in the 40s was the first one to start interpreting some of the scriptures.
He started it.
Yeah, he started it as if he was supposed to get rich because God told him to.
Right.
Now listen to the horse shit that comes out of this guy's mouth. So he's holding up the book and he's asking the people in his church, he's not the guy who wrote the book, he's asking the people in his church to read this so they can also be hoodwinked by the same revelation.
Right.
If you have this little book, I don't care if you've had it for 15, 20 years, go pull it out.
Yes.
Read it carefully.
Yes.
Then,
yes.
Then wire me the money to my bank account, 12004. Yes. 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 You think that lady's planted? I think she's a plant.
Probably.
Yeah. She's probably drunk. He's like, I'll pay you $10. Just say yes to whatever I say. Yes.
Okay. Are y'all with me? Because what we're talking about right now, it's right here. In detail.
Yeah.
And it's tiny little book. Yeah. Tiny. It's 25, 26 pages. Tiny little book. Uh-huh.
It's filled with my checking account number. And my Zelle, and my Venmo, and my PayPal.
As he's holding this up, he's wearing like a really nice
Rolex
watch.
Yeah, he's got a Rolex on. He's wearing a fine Italian
ring.
Suit. Yeah. It took 7 hours to get his beard that perfect.
Exactly.
That's like a Santa Claus, like a trimmed up Santa Claus
it's
beard.
It's a good beard.
It's pretty impressive, actually.
It really is impressive.
Yeah. Wish I could grow a beard like that. I have to go to the 5 o'clock shadow look, because if I don't, then I have like one gray streak here, a patch here.
Change your life. If you'll do it. Now,
no, it'll change
what
your
happened,
life.
And I'll just summarize it a little bit. He and Miss Aretha had pastored for years.
Hold on. I just want to point out something here real quick, and you can see this on the video. Look at the couple people up in the rows up there. Look at the guy with the white shirt and the glasses on, the bigger gentleman, right?
Yep.
He is actually writing down what this guy is saying.
Oh, yeah, he's taking notes.
What kind of medicine are they giving these people when they walk in the door? That not only are you letting this preacher tell you that Jesus told another guy who wrote a book who then told him to take your money because that's what God told him to do.
Yeah.
He's writing notes about it. He's like, gonna be broke for a couple years. Pastor told me send money.
He and Miss Aretha had pastored for years. And the Lord dealt with them to leave pastoring and go out on the road in traveling ministry.
Well, what is going on here?
Bob, it's me, God. Get out of that building. Get on the road like Chevy Chase in Vacation. See the world. Steal people's money. You're dawdling. No more dawdling. Get out there. Collect some cash. I need a new Lamborghini, Bob. Do this quickly. Bring your wife. Or don't. I don't care.
He did. But the first year, after 12 months, he's in the hole. And just the finances are getting worse every month. He just worse and worse and worse. So he began to seek the Lord.
He had a revelation.
He had a revelation.
Having other people give him money.
Are you sick of being broke yet, Bob? I told you. Open up those pocketbooks of those little old ladies. They're either going to use it for tooth fairy money for their grandchildren or give it to us, Bob. Here's your revelation. I did a spreadsheet. It's not working out for you, Bob. Your wife hates you. You're broke, living in the back of a car. If you just start talking to those little old ladies, Bob, we could get some more cash. Write a book about it, Bob. Here, write down everything I say. Give me your money. This is a robbery. Take it into the next bank you see, Bob. When you get arrested, tell them God told you. It's a revelation. Here's your get out of free jail card, Bob. Tell him it's a revelation. Write a book. Carry it with you. When you're stealing that money from grandma, bring out the book.
That's right.
Say it's a revelation. It absolves you of all responsibilities. Your wife needs a fur coat and a good fucking or she's going to leave you, Bob. This is my best idea yet. You better hurry up.
Break out the book.
Break out the book, Bob. Refer to page 3. Circle where it says, give me your money, lady.
Extra about what's wrong and begin to tell the Lord, you know, I obeyed you and I did this, but he said his children wasn't adequately clothed. He had to sell his car for junk. I mean, they're getting in just really.
This is quite the fantastic story.
I know. He's catastrophizing what everybody goes through all their life. The commercial break is in a constant state of turning our car in for junk. My children are not clothed adequately. Maybe I'm doing this all wrong. I need to start a church.
Book.
Yeah, I need to start a church and write a little book. The book of the commercial break. Revelations. Revelation TCB. Chapter 3.
You can't continue that. I mean, there's you can't keep going like this. And so he began seeking the Lord extra. And he said he was quoting to the Lord, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. He said, finally, after a few days of seeking the Lord, he said, the Lord told him, well, you don't qualify for that verse.
The Lord said, well, you don't qualify.
Unfortunately, due to your poor credit history, you do not qualify for this verse. Write that book, Bob. Get on it, big guy. God forbid, me forbid you actually have to go through tough circumstances. By the way, Bob, there are monks in India who have been walking the land, eating a grain of rice a day for their entire lives, asking for nothing, doing everything. We don't want to be those people, Bob. I didn't revelate to them. I revelated to you. This is America. Get out there and get yourself a plane, Bob. And fuck your wife before she leaves you.
And he said, what? He said, yeah, you obeyed, but you haven't been willing. Yeah. See, he was keep talking about how good it was when they were pastoring, and he's still looking back.
Amen. Oh.
So he repented, and he's...
Sorry. I mixed my preachers up there. Sorry, here, let's go back one second. I apologize. What you didn't see in the studio is that I pressed the wrong button and somebody else came up on the screen.
They were pastoring, and he's still looking back.
Amen.
So he repented and he said, Lord, I'm willing now. You know I'm willing. The devil knows I'm willing. And he said, yeah, I do.
The devil knows and he's willing.
You better apologize for being poor, Bob. Get down on your knees and repent for being poor. The fuck is wrong with you, Bob? Yes, this is God. I told you a million times. Get down on your knees and repent. Okay, okay. All is well. I'll give you that private plane now. Stop groveling. You look like an idiot. Pick yourself up. Get your children clothed, for God's sakes. Go to Oshkosh Bagosh and get yourself some new clothes for your children.
But another thing is that you don't practice what you preach.
Amen.
Now, all this is in this little book.
Yeah.
He said, you don't, he said, it felt like the Lord actually punched him. He thought, oh, Lord, you hit me a low blow. What do you mean I don't practice what I.
Take this one in the nuts, Bob. Stop driving that shitty station wagon around and get out there and steal some money like the rest of the preachers do. You got this all wrong, Bob. I'm relying on you. I think I picked the wrong guy. You better write that book. And I want a good book, too. Nothing less than 28 pages.
I wrote it 29.
Thank me. Thank me, Bob. Now you're doing something smart.
Preach? He said, no. He said, you preach faith, but you don't live by faith.
That's
true. He said, Lord. He said, you know, every time I've had any symptoms, every time the kids have had any symptoms, every time we've believed you, we've received our healing. He said, the Lord said, yes, you do with healing, but you don't use your faith for finances.
Oh, my God.
God. Your faith for finances.
I'll take care of the cancer. You take care of the money. I don't have any hands. What do you want me to do? I'm just a floating thing around in space. How do you expect me to write your checks for you, Bob? Let's grow up.
Praise God.
Yeah.
He said you got to use your faith in.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Listen to that. That lady. That's got to be his mom or his grandma, his aunt or something.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah.
He said you got to get a VR.
That should be.
That's going to be our new clip. Yeah. Write that down. Minute 321. Praise God.
You got to use your faith in every area.
Yeah.
He said, you haven't been using your faith for finances. And so I want to read to you just an excerpt from the book because I want to make sure I get it right. He
first
said, and
like,
I'm reading.
First of all, it's the tiniest book ever.
It's tiny.
And it's only 28 pages.
Yeah.
Like, just go ahead and read the book.
Yeah, it's like the size of your iPhone. Yeah, just read the entire book.
Exactly.
Yeah, you could have been done by now. You're telling this fanciful story. It's a little overdramatic, actually. He had to turn his car in for junk, and his children weren't clothed properly, and his wife was suffering from malnutrition as they drove around spreading the good word
well,
of the Lord.
Not driving anymore.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
Are you stuck on the side of the road somewhere? What happens when you turn in your car for junk? That's what I want to know. If you're on the road and you turn in your car for junk,
right. What happens then?
I just imagine like Bob and his wife back in the 50s with like a big trunk.
I'm picturing like
out on
a Depression era
yeah.
picture.
Yeah.
You know?
We'll preach for food. So stupid.
Directly from what he said, the head of the church told him. Now, if this came out of the mouth of the head of the church,
yes.
Should we?
Yes! Hallelujah!
That one woman.
I know. She's so excited to be there. She's so excited to give her money to this preacher.
Give it great esteem.
Yes.
He said, the Lord told him, don't pray about money anymore.
Yes. Praise God.
Wow.
Praise God.
Because it doesn't work. What do you think? I'm up here waiting for you to ask for money? I got big shit to worry about. I got that Elon Musk over at Twitter. I got DeMar in the hospital. I got Andy and Andy sobering up over there on the New Year's Eve. It's a whole mess. And you want me to give you money? Fuck you.
Then he said, that is the way you've been praying.
Yes.
Claim whatever you need.
Just claim it.
Just claim it.
That's it.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Mercedes-Benz, I claim this car. I'm going to try that.
I know. Yeah.
I know. I'm going to go over to my next door neighbor's house. He's got a nice saw I need for some work in the house. I'm claiming this in the name of the Lord. It's right here in the book. Read it when you get a chance. It's short. It's in tiny little print. It's a little mouse print.
Now, what we're elaborating on is how you lay hold.
That's it.
Come on, can you see this? You lay up, but then also what do?
Lay hold. I lay down. I lay up, I lay down.
Lay hold.
That's right. You put your right Bible in, you put your right Bible out, you put your right Bible in, and you shake it all about. You steal your neighbor's stuff, and you claim it for yourself. That's what it's all about. Hey! Prosperity preaching, in a nutshell.
You lay hold. He said, claim whatever you need. You say, he said, the Lord told him this. You say,
You say, you son of a bitch! Where did you get that new Ferrari? Those aren't coming out till next season. I claim it for myself.
Take your hands off my money.
Amen.
He said, because it's Satan who's keeping it from you, not me.
Fucking Satan.
He said, the
fucking
Lord.
Satan.
He's to blame.
That asshole. I should have never got a joint account with him. I can't take it off unless we both go in and sign. You know what I'm saying? It's complicated. I check the account and I only have $65 trillion in there. I know Satan's taken at least $25 trillion. He's giving it to that, people in Florida. That's where he's sending it.
Said, I'm not withholding adequate food and clothing from your little children. That's not me.
That's you, Bob. Horrible father.
It's the devil. He's the god of this world. The money you need is down there on earth. Can you see this?
Yes.
And so yet people keep begging God, pleading with God, but the resources are down here, and because the enemy is exercising control over most of the planet, then he is always trying to hinder and block your provision from you.
Yeah. Well, this all makes perfect sense. This is
solved.
Why we're broke.
Solved the devil.
Yeah, we're looking at God to give us some money here at the commercial break, and who's really holding it from us is the devil.
Yep.
And if we just realize that, Chrissy, that we can just claim the money we want.
Yeah.
I'm walking into Wells Fargo tomorrow. I'm claiming all the money in your till. It's not a robbery. I'm just claiming it. It's here in the book.
Yeah.
I just slide over the book.
At the window.
God told me to take it. He said, stop looking at me. It's the devil. You get the right teller and I bet they give you the money.
Yeah.
That's right.
True.
Like the lady is sitting here saying yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Who is it that wants the church broke?
The enemy.
Why would God want the church broke?
Amen.
It's the enemy who wants the church broke.
Right. Look how, listen to how high his voice gets.
It's the enemy.
I don't want the money. But if the devil gets it, we're in trouble. So give it to me. I'm in stocks.
It's the church.
That's right.
Quote, unquote.
It's not me who wants the bored ape. It's God. I'm just a vehicle to get it there to him. I got four bored apes.
And Christians and preachers and ministries. He said, it's not me that's keeping this.
It's not me.
Things from your children. He said, claim it because it's down there on earth and Satan has the most control of it because he's the god of this world. Are you listening?
Yes.
So you say,
are you listening? Okay, open up your checkbooks.
I mean, everybody's sitting there looking at him.
Everybody's, yeah.
Are you listening?
There's hundreds of people in this church. They're all getting ready to break out their checkbooks for this jackhole who's wearing a Rolex watch. And he has just convinced them by simply, I mean, that was the most circular reasoning I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah.
You don't talk to God about it because we're down here on earth. And Satan is trying to keep the money from the church. And I just so happen to be the church.
Right.
I didn't ask for this. God did. You see how this makes sense? Are you listening? Yes! Praise Jesus! Thank you, Doreen. Thank you for sitting up front every week. I appreciate it. I'm going to kick you in the face sometimes, but you make me a lot of money. So,
I claim X amount, naming whatever it is you want or need.
That's so good.
He said, now when...
There's some guy in the back that goes,
$1,000, that guy is in on it too. $1,000, that's the preacher on Saturdays, right? Oh, that's so good. Listen to him.
That's so good.
He's probably taking his own notes, like, this is what I need to do to get money.
Babysitter porn and convincing the flock to give us their cash. I don't know which is better.
So good.
Let's listen to that again. That is so good. That is so good.
Whatever it is you want or need.
That's so good.
He said, now when the Lord said that he actually replied and said, now Lord, I believe that you can meet our needs, but our wants? Because they didn't preach that in his circles. And the Lord quoted to him Psalm 23:1, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He quoted Psalm 34:10, you know, that they that, you know, seek the Lord shall not want any
whatever,
good thing.
Whatever. He was just waiting to say
24:2.
It says, well, you know what it says.
21 EPMs, you know, you remember. That one that said, give me your money.
Exactly.
You look it up. You don't know? You better come to prepared next week to tell me. I'm not here to memorize the Bible for you. That's for you to do. I'm here to take your check. Give it to the ushers.
He said, claim whatever you need or want, and then say, Satan, take your hands off my finances. And then say, go.
He's got instructions.
He does.
Satan, take your hands off my money.
This is good. This is so good.
And then you click your heels 3 times and say, there's no place like home. No place like home.
My finances. And then say, go, ministering spirits, and cause the money to come.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. That's how it works. I did it once in the 60s at that nudist resort. I found $5 on the ground. I needed a condom one time and it appeared out of nowhere.
Are most people doing this?
No.
No, they are not. Sadly, a lot of folks that call themselves word and faith.
Saying, Satan, take your hands off my money? I don't know.
Satan, take your hands off my money. And then say, go, withering spirits. Be gone, and the money shall appear.
Yeah,
name your amount.
Comes.
Name your
name
price.
It, claim it.
Name it. Claim it. Name it and claim it, baby. Right. I need $250,000 right here, right now. Go away, Satan.
Look, there it is.
Call.
It's just the way it works.
That's right. Call the Ritz down in Cabo. We're on our way. We'll figure it out. I'm going to ask when we're on the plane. We're higher. We're closer to God. She probably just can't hear me right now. Remember, Satan's got this level of interference going on.
That's right.
Yeah, down here on earth. But once we get up there, we'll be fine. It's good for Kenneth Copeland. It's good for me. The higher I get, the closer to God
I am. Right.
Praise Remember, Jesus. Kenneth Copeland one time said he needed a private plane so he could get closer to God?
Yeah.
Amen. Right.
Are not doing this. And if all you're going to do is beg and wait on the Lord, you'll just keep going and going without.
That's right.
Well, it makes perfect sense to me. I'm ready. All right. I think we got this might be our second to last show of the season.
That's right.
That's right.
Yep.
Oh, no, it's not. Never mind. I'm wrong. But we're getting close. We're getting close to the end of the season three. Season four starts the first full week in February, so I think that's the 5th or 6th or something like that. And we're super excited for all the great things that are to come in season number 4. Thank you for being a loyal listener of The Commercial, if indeed you are a loyal listener of The Commercial Break. If you're just passing by, you probably didn't make it to this point anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
But we love you all.
We love you all. Either way, we're grateful.
Praise Jesus.
Praise Jesus. I need more Apple reviews now! Go away, withering spirits.
Satan, get away.
Satan, get away. We're going to finish this video in the next episode, so stick with us. You know, I was going to tell you, Chrissy, lots of people texting the phone line.
Oh, yeah?
Lots of people. I think we've had like 37 messages in the last 4 or 5 days. From one person, but it doesn't matter. Whatever. Who's counting? Leviticus 3.4.7.
Right. You know.
Thou shalt message the TCB.
You know what it says.
That's right. At 1-855-TCB-8383. That's 1-855-TCB-8383. From anywhere in the world, toll free. You can text, you can call, you can leave us a message if you'd like your voice to be heard on air. You never know. We might do it. You can go to tcbpodcast.com. All the video, all the audio, and the contact us button will get an email straight to our inbox. We'd also love it if you would stop by YouTube and watch our videos. YouTube.com/thecommercialbreak. I know that there's been a lag in the videos. Some people have been complaining that, you know, oh, I go to YouTube and the most recent video is from 2 weeks ago. In season number 4, the YouTube videos come out the same day. At the same time, they come out on the audio experience. So if you prefer to watch the videos, you will be up to date. YouTube.com/thecommercialbreak. And please follow us on the Instagram @thecommercialbreak on that Instagram. Are you ready? Are you excited?
I'm ready.
You ready for season number 4?
I am ready. I'm
Me
excited.
Too. I'm super excited. Really, I'm excited to take a break.
Yeah.
That's what I'm excited to do.
That's true. We'll get a little break.
That's right. So I'll say this. I guess that's all I can do today.
I think so.
I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
And best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I always say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.